Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of GTI Insights, the Global Taiwan Institute's policy podcast. My name is Marshall Reed, and I'm a program manager here with GTI.
And I'm Anais Fong, an intern at GTI.
And today we're really so excited to be joined by Frank Uris, a research fellow of the Estonian Foreign Policy Institute at the International Center for Defense and Security in Tallinn. At ICDS, he conducts really fascinating research on Chinese domestic and foreign policy, with a particular focus on Beijing's approach to Central and Eastern Europe. He's written extensively about EU-Asia relations, and he's been featured in events and publications around the world. Frank, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation. I've been a long-time listener, and it's an honor to participate first time.
Well, Frank, we're so excited to have you here to share your really unique perspectives. Over the last 2 years, the Baltic states have really emerged as a focal point in China's efforts to exert influence both in Europe and around the world. Beginning with Lithuania's really well-publicized decision to withdraw from the Cooperation Between China and Central and Eastern European Countries Initiative, which is also known as the 16+1, and culminating with Estonia and Latvia's recent decision to do the same, the region has really been at the forefront of a growing number of conversations around the geopolitical consequences of engagement with China. With all that in mind, we're very much looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Estonia's approach to China and Taiwan, as well as the future of European approaches to East Asia more broadly. So just to get started, I always like to kind of set the stage a bit, and particularly, a country like Estonia that, isn't talked about very frequently in these conversations. Can you provide a little context on the past and present of Estonia's approach to both China and Taiwan? And, how has Tallinn historically handled the two, and has that changed in recent years?
First of all, I have to start by setting the stage or explaining the environment we are situated at. So we are a bordering country with Russia. So our foreign and security policy's main focus for a long time has been Russia, Russia, Russia. China, of course, we've been interested in having access to the Chinese market or attracting Chinese investment, but it also has emerged more strongly in regard of Russia. For instance, in 2007, when Russia organized widespread protest in Estonia due to the movement of a Second World War monument of Soviet origin to a new location, then also we were hit from the Russian side with sanctions that our products couldn't be sold that easily anymore in the Russian market. And Estonian business sector was looking more eagerly towards China as a substitute market. But it didn't take very long until we faced the first set of backlash that became imminent with China, as so many other countries have also faced and understand that political risk in access in Chinese market is rather high. And in 2011, so 4 years after after reorientating or looking for China as a substitute market, Estonian politicians unofficially met with the spiritual leader of Tibet, Dalai Lama, after which our dairy products market was closed off. We couldn't sell anymore to China. So it's been up and down. And I think also our perception has changed quite a bit in recent years, as China has mostly been for us as an economic partner, looking towards China mostly in economic terms. And just recently, we have started thinking of China also in security terms. And one good example of this is in 2017, Dutch company sold its assets here in Estonia that make up the backbone of Estonian internet. And the company that purchased this strategic infrastructure was a Chinese company called CITIC Telecom. And there was no discussions about this purchase or this acquisition in Estonian media besides that it just took place. But if you Google a little bit about the background of this company is CITIC Telecom, and it's a subsidiary of CITIC Group. And just a simple Google research will show you that the CITIC Group is the front company of PLA Army, or PLA, Chinese Army. And just in 2 years after that, in 2019, when China was lobbying very hard on building the next generation of ICT, namely the 5G telecommunications network. There was a lot of discussions, a lot of concerns in regard of security and so on. So in two times, there was a 180 degree turnaround. So now, if you look at the overall environment, the security concerns define more clearly the Estonian approach towards China than before. And while it was before mostly dominated by economic opportunities, then now I would say it's mostly focused on security.
Thank you, Frank. Now, I'd like to pivot a little more to more recent events. As we know, in August of this year, Estonia and Latvia made international headlines when they withdrew from the China-led 16+1 initiative. I'd like to know, what were Estonia's motivations in pulling out of the grouping?
Because it wasn't very useful. To simply put it, it wasn't very useful for Estonia. So we've been participating in this format since 2012, so almost a decade to be correct. And we have seen very little benefits of this format, as it was mainly we participated mainly due to economic reasons. We were looking forward to having access to the Chinese market by selling our products there, or we were interested in attracting Chinese investments. But neither of these promises that got us involved in the first place have not materialized. In 2021, Estonian exports to China were just out of total exports 1% and imports 3.5%. So China hasn't become a significant partner in economic terms for Estonia. And I think it's not even in the first 10 partners in regards to trade. If I'm not mistaken, China is Estonia's 17th partner in trade in importance. So I'd say rather the format in itself has been a disappointment for Estonian government, Estonian policymakers. And but what we have seen is the increase of Chinese influence. There's one good example, I think, that very well explains it, is that when Estonia, together with other six member states, in 2021 downgraded its participation in the format, then the first questions that Estonian politicians asked were, how will China punish us now? Our only misconduct was that we didn't send the prime minister nor president to attend the meeting, but the foreign minister. In their thought process was still lingering the memory of Estonian politicians meeting with Dalai Lama and how Estonian dairy products couldn't any longer enter the Chinese market. But in fact, carrots and sticks, both cases are imaginary, as Estonia hasn't seen in participating in this format real carrots. We haven't seen any increase in significant increase in economic cooperation, nor the stick is real, as it is very difficult to sanction or take away something that isn't of any substance from the first place. But China has been successful in increasing its influence in our society. If we are willing to self-censure ourselves just in the name of having maybe one day access to the Chinese market or having one day substantial investments from China. So yearly photo opportunity with Chinese leadership from a cost-benefit ratio isn't very significant, of course, and it has also negative impact on European unity, as China is very good in playing or creating this artificial competition amongst member states to promote self-censorship. I think small Baltic states, by leaving this format, have actually made a step towards the right direction and for the benefit of European unity.
Great. Yeah, I mean, it really has been fascinating to watch. And you mentioned that, you know, small states leaving the 16+1 union. You know, Estonia and Latvia obviously made news recently, but they're not the only Baltic state that has been in the news for exactly this reason. You know, over the past 2 years, I think there's been a really amazing amount of attention on Lithuania, which has found itself in the middle of a really high profile diplomatic whirlwind since its withdrawal from the 16+1 and, you know, subsequent outreach to Taiwan. Do you think Lithuania's actions had any influence on decision makers in Estonia, and how?
I think they were just the first ones who acted upon their cost-benefit analysis. And we could see already the trend before Lithuanians leaving that many countries were unhappy with the format for the same reasons. They hadn't seen any follow-up on economic promises from the Chinese side. And they had seen a substantial increase of Chinese influence and influence activities in their own societies. I think for the Lithuanians, the eye-opening moment was in 2019 when Chinese embassy organized and participated in a violent protest in the center of the capital in Vilnius. The ambassador watching it from the sidelines, and this seriously made them reconsider. And I'd like to highlight as well that like small Baltic states have been in the forefront on raising the alarm on increasingly aggressive Russia for years now, and it has they've been the trendsetters or working in that direction to achieve some kind of unity in European discussions to see that Russia is a threat. And why couldn't the Baltic states do the same to highlight the importance of European unity also in regard of China? Like I said, the economic relationship is rather minuscule or insignificant, so they have less lose and more to gain from unity. And then, for instance, in Estonia's case, we've been advocating for in regard of China to have bilateral relations or EU-wide approach 27+1. This has been long time our preferred approach towards China, as we have much stronger standing point. And we shouldn't sell ourselves short. We are extremely important market for China. We are the market of rich, 500 million rich consumers. So only if we let China to single us out and threaten us with sanctions, then we are an easy target for China. But if you stand strong, stand together, we have much better opportunities, be it in regard of Russia or be it in regard of China.
I'd like to go in a slightly different direction, but still on the same topic. You know, you mentioned that the cost-benefit analysis for Estonian withdrawing from the 16+1 was really based on what it didn't get from the 16+1, this lack of perceived benefits. I'd like to hear you. On the other side, Lithuania, following with withdrawal from the 16+1, has really made a lot of news by building up its relationship with Taiwan a bit. I'd be interested to hear, do you see Estonia following a similar path and trying to get benefits from Taiwan and building up its relationship from Taiwan, or has what's happened to Lithuania kind of swayed attention away from that?
I think this is part of a general trend. Many European member states, not only member states, for instance, United Kingdom as well, have emphasized the importance of Indo-Pacific region. They have come up with their several strategy papers emphasizing the importance of increasing interactions with Taiwan. And I think there's every reason to do that. I'm sad to say, but it took us 3 years in three wars to understand the threat that Russia poses. And even before the outbreak of full-on war, there were still some countries reluctant, or some people still saying that we shouldn't irritate Russia and this will lead to the war. Russia and China, if they have their own priorities, I think there's very little we can do, or strategic change, we can do very little, and they will work upon their set goals or strategies regardless of our actions. And by increasing cooperation with Taiwan, we are just increasing the cost for China to do something or like to attack the invasion of Taiwan. As I mentioned, the American market, of course, is important to China, but so is European market. And the more interactions, the more first-hand interactions European leaders have with Taiwanese counterparts, the higher the risk for China. Definitely is not interested in facing sanctions from both the European and American markets, if it is to carry out its violent policy towards Taiwan. And of course, it's very, very welcomed. And I think many European member states already have representative offices. So Lithuania, by opening a representative office, didn't actually do anything that novel. Just formerly, all the three Baltic states were covered by the representative office in Latvia, in Riga. So opening one in Lithuania or Estonia, I think, is very welcomed. And Estonian politicians have also spoke in favor of these developments to increase culture and economic interactions. And I think there is every reason for Estonia and Taiwan to increase their interactions. Taiwan is known as a hardware or powerhouse of hardware. Estonia is very IT savvy country, who's known for its many startups and software developer. So it would be mutually beneficial to increase these ties between the countries.
Thank you, Frank. Now, I'd like to touch on something you mentioned earlier. Specifically, since February of this year, Europe has been understandably preoccupied with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now, given Estonia's long history of conflict with Russia and proximity to the Russian border, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't dig into Tallinn's response to the war. Has the war impacted Estonia's approach to foreign policy, and more specifically, has it influenced Tallinn's view on China and Taiwan?
I think the ambiguous stance that China took in regard of the war in Ukraine has been one of the biggest concerns and maybe also an eye-opening moment for Estonia. The widely used or expressed from different institutions, from the PRC, the statement that China values the territorial integrity of Ukraine, but it also supports Russia's security concerns in regard of Ukraine. So this, of course, has been of serious concern of Estonia, even though China has avoided explicitly supporting, be it militarily or technologically, Russia. It has given a helping hand in the war of propaganda by disseminating and repeating Russian propaganda on its own channels. This is, I think, the biggest concern for Estonia. Even before the war started, China and Russia declared a limitless partnership, or limitless between both of these countries. So these concerns, direct but indirect, moves or actions of support have been of serious concern to Estonia. And I think these are shared also more widely in the central and eastern parts of Europe.
Frank, I'm so glad you could join us right now, just because, as you've done a great job of explaining, this is really an interesting time in Europe's relationship with both Taiwan and China. And it really does feel, based on what you've said and based on what we've heard and been reading, this is kind of a time of change. This could be a time where opinions really change, where relationships really change. And I'd like to focus a little bit more on Taiwan and look to the future a little bit. I think you've already hinted at the idea that there's been a lot more movement throughout Europe towards building relationships with Taiwan, towards more genuine investment in the Indo-Pacific. I'd like to hear, do you see opportunities for greater, you know, expansion of ties between Estonia and Taiwan? And specifically, are there particular areas, whether they're economic, diplomatic, that you could see the two cooperating on more expansively in the future?
Definitely. Besides the before mentioned economic cooperation, there's also a lot to learn. Taiwan has been facing this increasingly aggressive China for decades. We have a lot to learn in regard of building our own societies more resilient towards Chinese influence activities, and vice versa. We have made some great progress in preparing and building our resilience and deterrence in regard of Russia. So Estonia, one of the very few countries that still follows the conscription army. I think this is something that Taiwan might be interested in, as it's following its or is changing towards its porcupine defense strategy. Is also considering about increasing the time span of the conscriptions. In Estonia, we have still conscription almost of a year. There are definitely topics of mutual interest. We excel in the expertise that, for instance, others lack, and this knowledge or this experience is interchangeable somewhat. So I think there is every reason to increase cooperation. Deterrence, not only having like-minded partners, but also sharing our know-how, how to make our societies more resilient, more equipped. We always have to prepare for the worst-case scenario, and in this case, nobody else can help us in preparing our own society for the worst-case scenario.
Great. Well, Frank, thank you so much for doing such a good job of really providing a huge amount of context on this relationship, both the past, the present, and now the future. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens next in the Estonian relationship with both China and Taiwan. But, you know, we're very excited to be able to speak with you today. So, Frank, thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. It was been such a pleasure and honor to participate in an interesting discussion.
Well, thank you to all our listeners for joining us for another episode of GTI Insights. Many thanks also to the great staff and interns at GTI for all their help with every step of producing this podcast. If you're interested in learning more about GTI, be sure to check out our website at globaltaiwan.org, where you can find more information about our Global Taiwan Brief, as well as our frequent public seminars. You can also listen to more episodes of GTI Insights on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Until next time, this has been GTI Insights.